open, and do I normally read this, Rose, before we introduce each other, or?
Whatever you'd like to do.
Oh, whatever I like to do. I prefer to do it in sing-song voice then. The Citizens Police Review Board, where we bridge the gap between law enforcement and the community to help increase trust and accountability. And we have one new board member here this evening. Would you like to introduce yourself and say a few words?
This is way more fancy and formal than I expected.
Well, it's complimentary, but you know, okay. Yep. Might as well. You get to do it again at the formal meeting that you're at.
Large crowd watching.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, oh. The doting public. Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Stephen Williams. I am an assistant professor at the University of Missouri, and I'm excited to serve.
Hey.
Welcome.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome.
Professor of what?
Education. Okay. Yeah, so I focus in post-secondary education, higher education, student affairs.
Okay, are there any other introductions that we need to do? I don't see any. Has everybody gotten their agenda, had a chance to review them?
Correct.
And does anybody want to approve the agenda?
I'll approve.
I'll second it. Miller.
Jeffrey, approve.
Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Did everybody get a chance to review the minutes from the last meeting on April 13th?
Yes.
I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Jeffrey, approve.
Miller, second.
Any discussion? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Same sign. That has passed. They've been approved. Reports, any positive connections or ride-alongs? I can actually report on a positive connection. It was somewhat by happenstance. We had a government affairs meeting on Thursday afternoon for the Board of Realtors, and the chief actually came and presented to our very small group, so it was a nice give-and-take discussion. And it was a very, you know, candid discussion, his thoughts on what was going on in the courts, what he was considering on policing, and he was having good luck with the academy and recruiting. They've got a new recruiting person, and so it was very nice, and it was a very informal setting, and it was a very pleasant experience, so I can report that.
Good.
Board.
And I'm going to kind of piggyback up off of the new recruits. I did have an opportunity to meet some of the new recruits that graduated here a few weeks or so ago. I think that was very positive. They do that training, have us come out there, kind of present and give an overview about what the board is. So I explained that process to them. We did a little bit of Q&A of one another, and I thought that all the recruits that are coming in, that they're very committed and dedicated. They seem to be open with reaching out and doing outreach with the community. And overall, it was a good connection. So, yeah.
I would say one other item. It's not a ride-along, but I did have the opportunity a few weeks ago to go over to CPD, and Julie gave me a very extended and extensive tour and got to meet some fellow officers, talked about some of the numbers and things of that sort, but it was a very positive engagement. So thank you again.
No problem. Just so you know, ride-alongs are open. We just have to have your applications on file. Generally, if you send them to me, I can forward them to the guys so they can process them, and then they'll be in contact with you.
Okay.
So.
Yes, for your information, if you need new to the board, and they've been on and off and on and off because of COVID. They were shut down for quite a while, and then they reopened, and then they shut them for a while again, and now they're available to apply. So get your applications in and times. All right. That brings us to old business and community-oriented policing program. I don't have a whole lot to report. I think most of you saw the grant opportunities that we were supplied with. I didn't see a whole lot of grants that were really active. Did you, Rose? Or did you even take the time? You didn't. You're busy.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I think we could inquire if those are still, because some of those renew annually, because those were from 2021. I can see if some of those grants are active, but I also am visiting with Cheryl, and I think this is also something that when we do our outreach to see what the public thinks about community policing, because I think it's kind of been going through.
I don't know.
What do you want to say?
Well, one of the discussions in which Rhonda and I had, in which I raised the concern about the community-oriented policing in general, is that some members from the minority community, black and brown communities, are concerned that it could potentially lead to an over-policing of that community. So when we're thinking about community policing, I think that we can be thinking, and at least keep it in the back of our minds, how do we get that balance so that, you know, the officers are making positive contact with the community, but also as to where it's not creating an over-policing type of situation. One of the things which kind of come to my mind is if an officer may stop someone from a expired tag. Does that, you know, contact just mean for the expired tag? Are we doing other investigations that could lead to, you know, an arrest? So these are just some of the kind of things to kind of be thinking in the back of our mind moving forward when we're kind of thinking about doing the community-oriented policing program.
Going off of that, one of the things I do know is that the Department of Justice does have a community-oriented policing services, an office for it, and they do supply grants. And I know because I helped write the proclamation, so that's why I'm looking at this right now. But the Biden administration really pushed it. But it's too kind of going off that. They give money to departments that hire locally from the communities to try to encourage that. So I do think if we are looking for grant money, we could actually look to see what there is available through the Department of Justice, if that's a thing. I don't know if they just give the money to the departments directly, or but it also says that they give them the pilot projects as well. So I think that could be a place we could look.
Yeah.
I think community policing, probably from what I'm reading and what I've ascertained, you almost have to be at full staff though, because you want your precincts or your areas that you're working in,
right,
to be where you could get and walk and not have to be on long shifts and
right
know the community.
Yeah.
That's why they call it community policing.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think that with the outreach, we'll be able to get more of an opinion as to what the public want as we hopefully, one of the goals is to branch out to the different areas of the community so that we're, you know, central city, the south of town, the west of town, the east of town, just so that we can get a good positive feedback from a, you know, wide range of the citizens out there, so.
So we're going to continue to investigate that, but I think we want to get some really good input from the public as we move forward. Status update, February 22nd, report on extensions of time. Rose?
I talked to the city councilor about this today, and it's on her to-do list. On February 21st, the city council discussed the board's request. And this had to do with the request for an ordinance requiring the police chief to request extensions of time. On a vote of 4-2 at that time in February, council passed a motion for it to come back as an ordinance. I've prepared a draft ordinance. The city councilor just needs to look it over. And I reminded her about it today. So it's on her list.
So we're going to bring that back next month?
I'm going to keep it on as a status update and then see how it's progressing. But she has the draft that I prepared, and then once she approves the draft, then I can upload that into the software that would put it before the city manager for a council agenda. But okay. She needs to approve the draft first.
Okay.
Rose, with that extension, is that for every investigation or is for that for ones that are appealed? Does it specify?
It is not. It depends, okay? So if you're able to get the investigation done without an extension, then obviously there's no need to request the extension. But if you're going to run out of time,
right,
it would require the chief to request the extension to allow sufficient time. So it really would depend upon each situation.
So generally, just so you know how I'm doing it right now, I assign out the investigations, and as I receive them back, if they're under 53 days and it's been through our chain review and the chief has made his preliminary finding, we don't do an extension request because that gives enough time for the citizen to receive the letter and request the appeal if they so wish. If they do appeal, then I will request an extension at that time. But if we go over 53 days and it's still in our investigation process, then I request the extension. Does that make sense?
I mean, I think your process would still be the same.
Okay.
It just would put the burden on the chief to keep, well, the department to keep track of that and keep doing, in essence, what you say you're doing.
Right. So, okay. That's how I've been doing it since we had that hiccup with the last one. So. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Then moving on to new business. We have, and this came from the outreach committee, we had wanted to work with the Juneteenth event. I don't know what type of registration. Is there any required registration that we have to do for that?
Well, there are actually a couple events which are going on for Juneteenth. One of the particular events in which I had brought up at the outreach committee meeting, and I think we kind of talked about it here as a general board, is that there is going to be a parade. And then immediately following after the parade is going to be festivities at Douglas Park. We have actually got a hold of the organizers, at least I did, and I got this commission signed up to be in the parade as well as the festivities down at Douglas Park and the Human Rights Commission. The Human Rights Commission, we had our meeting a few weeks or so ago, and we were not opposed to, you know, joining or at least walking together in the parade or even possibly even setting up the table at Douglas Park. So the sign-up sheet in which Rose has passed around and has out that's going around, you can sign up if you want to participate in the parade. I know that Rhonda's going to help out a little bit about getting things set up as far as getting hopefully a vehicle there so that we can, just in case, you know, everybody's not able to walk the route, at least we can get into a vehicle. My main focus is to get the literature, the flyers, the brochure, getting that out when we're walking through the parade and definitely having when we're manning the table down there at Douglas Park and just getting out there and just letting people know about the commission, how to be on the commission, and just outreach and communicating. So if you can participate in either one of the event, of course we have to worry about the quorum, definitely, you know, sign up and everything. And I think Rhonda also had another event which was going on. Were you going to talk about that?
Well, it's on Wednesday, so
that's the family fun fest or something like that at Cosmo,
which I have not proceeded to do anything with because I think we're probably going to be pretty busy with both a parade and an event on Saturday. So
if anyone definitely wants to join in, again, don't hesitate to sign that sheet. We can use the help, and it's a good way for you guys to get out there and let the people know your faces and, you know, making the decision. So
So are you planning to share a table with the Human Rights Commission or be on separate tables?
I think if we can share, you know, a table, and we may have to bring two tables. I mean, just depending on how much literature. Last year at the Human Rights Commission, what we did is that we brought we brought the brochures. We also brought information in reference to the funding program, which is available through the HRC. Of course, we had some games and stuff there. Actually, we can probably bring a table and maybe just all just be up there at one, you know, setup. So just take two spaces, maybe that side to side, and we can just have, you know, the human rights table and the citizens police review table. And of course, you know, our swag and everything like that. It just makes sense to me for the two commissions to be together.
I'm only asking because right now, I mean, Michael needs to check his calendar, but right now there's no one signed up for from 2 to 4 p.m.
Okay.
So that's the gap period.
Okay.
Is it Douglas Park? Is that where it's set
up? Douglas Park, uh-huh. And I think Rhonda's going to kind of get down there to set up for us about noonish. I would say probably about noonish.
Yeah, I'll probably.
And I'll probably be down there, honestly, all day, at least to probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock, you know. So that's my plan.
You want me to add you to that 2 to 4 slot?
Go ahead. Yeah. It's just a great event. It really is. And I'm going to ask, and I may have to make a motion for this, if you, Madam Chair, could maybe ask the new mayor if she would sign off on a proclamation to declare Juneteenth as a Juneteenth day. I know last year the mayor did for us over at the Human Rights Commission, but I think that maybe write something together, me as being the liaison from the Human Rights and you being here.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Do I need a motion for that?
Billy, it's up to you all.
I second.
So moved.
Okay.
You need a voice vote or is aye going to be enough?
Ayes are fine.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. All right. I'll ask the mayor. Maybe she'll come.
Maybe she'll come.
Basically, what we would need is a draft of what you want the proclamation to say, and then I forward that draft to the city clerk, who then gives that to the mayor to review, and then it's really the mayor's decision whether or not what the mayor wants to proclaim.
Okay. All right.
And I have the motion down as made a motion to request Mayor Buffalo to sign a proclamation. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Commendation and complaint form, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been so busy.
Yes.
I have been. So I, as a non-member of the Outreach Committee, and I think that might be what the final line on here is speaking to, have been making some revisions to the commendation and complaint form. I wish I had noticed this earlier, but the attachment on your agenda is actually not the latest version, so I can send that to Rose or whoever it may be. But we've... just to cut to the chase here, we run into some logistical challenges as to whether it makes sense to combine commendations and complaints in the same form. And I know the Outreach Committee had previously discussed these. Where we're at now is an impasse where I feel, you know, as an individual editor who's not on the committee, I don't feel comfortable trying to, you know, act on these changes without a discussion. So if everybody on the Outreach Subcommittee would be interested in that, I'd love to join the Outreach Subcommittee.
Well, that's right on this agenda.
Exactly. Just I noticed that. Yeah.
Can we move that up on the agenda, Rose? Is that a big problem if we do that part, even though we didn't change the agenda?
Like to do in that regard, I will figure it out on the backside how to make the computer work when I put the minutes in.
Because in this particular instance, we've got... the appointment of a member to the Outreach Subcommittee.
Like I said, you can
so
do it however you would like to.
I would suggest you just go ahead and talk to it, and we'll make it formal when we hit that spot in the agenda. How about that?
All right. Well, yeah, on the form itself, I've been mainly making some copy changes that don't change the actual nature of the form. Where we're at now is that we need to decide, is the nature of the form as it stands a joint commendation and complaint form? Can that move forward? And if so, what is a way that we can do that that is not going to burden the staff that needs to process this form? So I would need the help of the existing Outreach Subcommittee members, Rose, and I don't know, Sergeant Ray, if you need to be involved in that. But we need to find a way for this form to move forward that's not going to burden the individuals processing it. Is that fair, Rose?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is probably what needs to be talked about. And the theory, the idea sounds really great. You know, one form does it all. But one of the problems is the review board ordinances are very specific to a licensed peace officer who works for the Columbia Police Department. So it wouldn't include civilian employees in the police department. So grouping the civilian employees in the police department with it kind of changes what information you provide via the form. So traditionally, well, started out in the police review board's jurisdiction was limited to police officers. Then at one point it was expanded to include community service, but not other civilian employees of the police department. Now, because of the state law change, we've restricted it back to just police officers. So under the ordinances, you don't even have to use a form. Just any complaint in writing will do. Email will suffice. We have a form that's available online, but it isn't necessary that the person use that form. But it's always been designed as the complaints that would eventually funnel to the review board. So one of the things that would traditionally be included on the complaint form that would come to the review board or have the possibility of coming to the review board would be the offer of a volunteer advocate. Well, the volunteer advocate program is only available to complaints that would come to the review board and is not available to complaints about civilian employees at the police department. So if you want to try and create this one form, you're either going to have more explanation, kind of saying, well, if you want a volunteer advocate and you're complaining about a police officer, you know, then contact this number. But if it just gets a little hard, and I think if you get too wordy, then people aren't going to read and they're going to be confused. So I think you need to think about really what's best for what's within your scope and your jurisdiction, even if it doesn't necessarily address the convenience of one form. And try and, I think, you all know more about civilian oversight than people in the public, but when you're looking at whatever you create, really think about and maybe ask friends and family, if you were going to complain, what does, you know, does this make sense to you? Or read this, what do you think of this? Because I think that will help you get the perspective of a member of the public who's just going to maybe pick up this form.
Yeah, I think that's great feedback, Rose. Now, we spoke specifically about combining police employees with officers in one form. Do you see any problems with combining commendations and complaints, assuming they're all about sworn officers?
I think that would be okay, unless it presents a problem for the police department. I know lots of police agencies have a combined form. I know it was talked about in, you know, like prior boards have talked about this issue, and originally the original board had talked about this issue, and there were some members at different points in time who thought they didn't like that approach. Because they thought if somebody was upset about their interaction with the police, being handed a form that talks about complimenting the police might get them more upset. But that was just, you know, individual people's opinions. And so that's also one of those things where if you do proceed down that path, I think asking just, you know, members of the public, friends and family, you know, if you felt this way, how would you view this? And if they're like, oh, yeah, I don't see a problem with that. And I think you could also ask the same thing about, you know, if you wanted to compliment a police officer, you know, how would this form feel to you? That would give you kind of a good perspective, almost like little focus groups of.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So if I can propose this, would outreach subcommittee members want to run this by some members of their community and say, what do you think? If each of us could do that, collect feedback from three or four individuals, and then return to discuss whether we think it can move forward as it is, perhaps pulling out police employees, whether it makes sense to split this in commendation and complaint. I think there's too many issues here to really address in this meeting. So is that an okay next step with everybody?
I think so. And I think in our email discussion when you were sending your comments, and I think it was one of the comments from the meeting where we discuss the form, the employees would have to probably drop off of that form. It was just the form you were working with had that on there. And while I was plagiarizing that form, it did, in fact, have employees mentioned. But since our purview is just over police officers, sworn officers, then it would have to have that. But I certainly feel like it goes to more discussion because a better form.
Yeah. It's going to be used more.
We'll get used more. Feedback. And I think that was our whole purpose of that form was to try to, with the complaints, allow the people that were making the complaints to try to get them, if they think there's more than one thing, to identify that, because that's what we had seen when we were going in closed hearings, that they were maybe keying on one thing where there might have been two or three other that they felt might have happened to them or occurred. So trying to focus on what that was. So I think that's a great idea. We'll just bring it back to the outreach committee.
I like it. And speaking of, I don't know if it's appropriate for me to move to appoint myself to that, so I'm not sure if the chair would like to move to appoint me
we'll
to that.
We'll be moving committee. You onto that. The chair will be appointing you there if you would go there. Since we're going to go to the flyer brochure next after that, does it take any other action? Do you need anything else from us, Rose, other than we're going to go back to outreach with it? And our next thing was the flyer and brochure, which our soon-to-be appointed member has, let me pass these around, edited for us. I think I've got enough of them.
Did also look at the flyer. I'm broadly pretty happy with this piece. There are a few additional items that I commented on, such as finding a Columbia-specific header photo. Rose described that once we are happy with the copy as it stands, that she will take that to the city's graphic designer and they can do that for us. So for the purposes of this meeting, I'd like to just open discussion on if we are happy with the copy, if there are further changes that need to be made. We can even, we can mark it up here and, it'd be nice to decide by the end of this meeting how we want to handle it.
And I went ahead and edited your, brought your comments about the image so that we could forward that on to whoever does the graphics, because the image you wanted to show, like a police officer possibly interacting with several diverse people.
Ideally. I did give a few additional options if that's not a photo that we have. I'm confident we can find something. If nothing else, the keyhole out front.
Like I explained, I was just grabbing stock photos from to grab as much of a diverse group of people from the pictures I was given to choose.
And since you have this event coming up very quickly.
Go ahead.
You could just, preliminarily approve this copy, and then it could be changed after the event. In other words, we could just make some for the event, and then, you decide you want more information, or instead of just having a flyer, you want to have, like the complaint form on the back or whatever. That could be done in the future. Yeah. So.
And then the only other thing we had, Rose had
email address.
The email address, because they get a lot of spam.
Okay, so is it both CBRB and CPRB?
Yeah, I will point out, I don't think that email address is correct, nor
that's the called Rhonda Can't Tag.
Sorry, I'm an editor.
It's called Rhonda Can't Type. See, now you catch it.
Yeah.
We also put something on there about like how to file a complaint. I'm just like, if you were to give this to somebody, it's like, oh, this is great, but it's like, okay, if I had a complaint, where would I? Do I go to 701 East Broadway or do I email?
It might be helpful if we put like the address that the review board information is online, because that would then have your links to your complaint forms, the appeal forms, everything is already.
So instead of the email, put the web address.
Maybe.
If you just type in like citizens, I pulled it up, just typed it in Google, like if you want to come a complaint, and it takes it to the City of Columbia's website, And then you go to a file complaint and citizens police review board appeals, file a complaint, and it's just more like a
there should be
fill
links.
In your comments.
I was gonna say it should, like, if you hit file a complaint, it'll take you to the form. If you hit file an appeal, it has a form.
So what specific URL is being proposed?
That's why I was just wondering, I don't know what the URL you guys would want to put. If do we have our own web, like, don't we have our own website? Or would you want them to use the City of Columbia's website?
It's all on the City of Columbia's website.
Okay.
So you just have to put the link to the CPRB. Or CBRB, depending on what my typing skills are at the moment.
Rhonda, if you contact our PIO's office and tell them what kind of photo you want, they can probably go through and find one for you.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, I will get whatever is approved to the Public Communications Department.
I will say I'm inclined to use the web link on there because I think it does provide a lot of opportunity to go find additional resources that are associated with us.
Well, I think that's an excellent suggestion until we...
Yeah, I don't personally want to attach the complaint form to this. I don't think the purposes are overlapping enough. You know, this is just a flyer.
What's your personal email again?
I won't do that. I think there's a... I mean, even the combination of accommodation. I don't want to signal to people that, like, this is...
Come complain.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. And that... I think this is a work in progress. It's something I think most people can digest it. We're trying to make them aware.
One area I do want to encourage discussion is on the Our Philosophy section. You know, I think our mission's pretty set. I guess if anybody wants to propose a change to the bullets about us, perhaps, but I'll say that Our Philosophy section is where I made changes, and you know, I think we have the most creative room here if we want to say something else. Okay, so again, this is a chair activity, but are we happy with this form as it stands? Do we want to approve it for use at Juneteenth?
I think our timeline for Juneteenth is going to be pretty tight. Is that not correct, Rose?
I think, let me see what I can do.
I'm trying to keep it to the minimum for you.
I really think, I mean, I know everyone's short staffed, so I know I'm asking a lot, but I do think it is helpful if you have something to hand out. A lot of people, I don't think we'd even have to print very many of these, maybe 50 to 100. I think you'll come back with a big stack because a lot of people don't want to take paper. But I think it's a really good start. It'll give you a more of a visual presence. Having worked these different events before, it's really hard to get people to come to your table unless you have stuff on your table for them to look at. Usually what you really need is giveaways, like free cups, free bottles of water, that sort of thing. Food, cookies, whatever. That's usually what gets people to come up and engage. Mm-hmm. You don't have any of that, but if we could at least have something like this, then if they want more information or need more information, they can take it. And so I think that would be helpful. The other thing, I'm not a tech person, but probably also eventually have one of those things.
Yeah, QR code.
Yeah.
And you just hold your phone over it.
Mm-hmm.
It would even be valuable. If.
Mm-hmm.
I would also imagine this being like a little bit smaller. Kind of the size of like almost like a graduation.
The card. Mm-hmm.
I mean, graduation season.
Yeah.
But people would be more likely to actually take it with them than like mm-hmm. fold it up and forget that they have it.
I will point out this is the cheapest size to print. And back to Rose's comment on the print run, there's very little, just to play devil's advocate here, I don't think we're going to need a ton of forms, but there's not a lot of cost difference between printing 100 and 200. So, you know, if we just worry, you know, maybe there's an incredible turnout, we wouldn't want to run out of forms if it costs us $5 extra to get another 100. So just a thought there, we might want to overshoot a little bit.
Well, I think we're in general with a few small changes. Personally, I'm happy with the form.
Yeah, I like the copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, catching the typos.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
I'm not going to make.
I'm going to be very realistic with you all. So I'm going to send this with the minor changes to the communications department in the morning to see how quickly they could turn something around. If we have enough time to turn it around and get it printed, great. And then if you're okay with printing up to 200, great. If they need more time and it's literally, you know, a couple days before, I can probably just print on a photocopier.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got it.
And
this is off of my copy.
In which case, then, you know, maybe 100 rather than 200. If you're okay with that approach, I think that would probably be an easy way to do it for this first event. If you run out, you know, great, but you could also then have a piece of paper and write information down and just hand people the contact information. With the human rights, if they're also there and they have brochures, sometimes in the past we've, you know, written on each other's brochures and handed those out. The other thing, as you're working this event, it's really helpful if you keep like a tally sheet of how many people you contact. That will help you plan then for the following year if you want to go back to that event, how many things to print, that sort of thing. So that's another one of the things where if we print 100 or 200 and then we can count what's left, that tells you, you know, what you need to do for the following year as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe other events.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think last year, going back to the swag and the attraction and everything, getting people over there to the table, we brought out just like little games that brought the kids over there. We had candy up there. We also, I think that there was like maybe some, what do you call it? The Frisbee type of things. We had that as swag too as well. So that's just kind of some things. I would go back and I ask the Human Rights Commission, are we going to be bringing that again? Because those fans, you know, it's like.
So the story of the swag.
Yeah.
So back when I staffed Human Rights and we had CDBG funding to do fair housing outreach. And so we did a lot of events trying to do the required fair housing outreach. So what I would do is I'd go around to all the other departments to get swag because we didn't have a budget for swag.
Mm.
Those Frisbees were left over from that. I check the drawer and I have a small amount of canvas bags that I could give you. They do not say anything with regard to Human Rights or Police Review Board, but they are something that you can sit on the table, and a lot of people like little canvas bags for free. I can reach out to other departments to see if they have anything. I think eventually, if you're going to do a lot of events,
you're going to have to get your own
getting a budget for swag that is specific to your board or what you're about would be helpful to get people to come. I'll be curious. I have never, you know, this event is newer than when I was doing outreach. I will be curious to hear back from you as to how successful it is. When I was doing it years ago, we did Earth Day, Pride Fest, all the off-campus housing fairs. We did the MU Women's Health and Wellness Fair. And then there were some other events that were scattered amongst those things. The one that I found was absolutely by far the best was the MU Women's Health and Wellness Fair, simply because it's an event people go to looking for information. Not because it's fun, not because they're games. They want to pick up material. I think in that event, the last one I did, I had 200 meaningful contacts within like 2.5 hours. And that is huge. Earth Day, I think I sat there the whole day and I had maybe five people. Pride Fest, it was all day, and I had two meaningful contacts who actually wanted to talk about human rights or fair housing or review board. So I think it will help you as you go forward to kind of see what that looks like. And then the other thing is, once we print some of these, you know, if you do, let's say you're going to your neighborhood association meeting or the board of realtors or something, you can then take some of them and distribute them within your
group.
Yeah, your different groups. And that I think is really effective, because you already have relationships and people know and trust you are ready. So then they're like more open to receiving the information and learning more. So that also is kind of a really effective form of outreach. So we had board members do presentations to neighborhood associations, the criminal defense attorneys in town. I think some people took them to barbershops and church groups. On campus, one of the professors, he would do presentations within his departments and other groups that he was affiliated with on campus. So bear in mind, when you think about this, it's kind of a broad, you know, where could you go with this? And even, you know, the recruit trainings, mm-hmm. you know, you could then use something like this as a communication tool with the new recruits as well.
Bob, you can edit your comments.
It's not as is.
I didn't type them. I cut and pasted those. Okay. Well, let's then move on to appointment of a new member to the Outreach Committee. I would move that Bob Oberman be our new member of the Outreach Committee.
Wait, accepted. Who seconded?
Michael did.
Okay.
I do need to be upfront that my work hours are 8:30 to 5:30 each day. So I, in order to get off at 5 o'clock, need to give PTO requests 2 weeks in advance. I of course need to use my PTO for a whole range of things. So I'm going to do my best to attend these, you know, when I can and when it's a priority. But I may not be able to attend every outreach subcommittee meeting.
And that's okay. And if you want to send your comments through Rose, if we're working on something, mm-hmm. Yes, Rose.
The other thing is, you could move it to 5:30 if you wanted. If that would
that wouldn't particularly help me.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, the 5:30 I always seem kind of rushed. That we're trying to rush through and getting things done within the half hour. But I think that at leaving it at 5 o'clock, that we were flexible enough to accommodate, you know.
You need to get the if you need like it, that's fine.
Exactly. And just submit comments to Rose or, you know. So I think that, 5 o'clock is a good time. Yeah.
Exciting.
Okay. All those in favor of that?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. Okay, that brings us to general comments by public members and staff. Before we get to that, I would say, Rose, we keep discussing these advocates, and when I've been really immersing myself in a bunch of how the Citizens Review Board got started, and actually the outreach strategy was in there, which was phenomenal. But we keep referencing advocates, but if we would, thank goodness we haven't been overrun with many complaints, but we don't have anybody to go to for advocates. So what do we?
So when people request advocates, they're referred to me. I then talk to them, take their information. When I talk to them, I explain the role of the advocate, and once they say yes, they do in fact want an advocate, I have a group of trained advocates who then I call them and find out, you know, I try and match up somebody who I think would be good and available. And if that person's available, then they do it. If they're not available, then I move to the next person on the list.
So
and
you
I
do
try
have...
and rotate through all of the advocates, as unless there's someone with a special need that would call out to be advocate used out of sequence. The example I'll use for that is one request came from someone who it was clear on the telephone that they needed more help than traditionally would be needed. And so at that time, one of my volunteer advocates was a licensed social worker, and I used her on that case, even though it wasn't really, you know, she wasn't next in line on the advocate list. Okay. The problem that we have is that the requests for advocates are very sporadic. So, and you know, there'll be some years where no one will request an advocate and some years where we'll get a whole bunch of requests. So one of the problems I have had is that people, when they decide to be volunteers, they often want to do stuff with more frequency. And there aren't really enough requests that keeps people really engaged. Now, I have switched my recruiting technique. So I used to go through volunteer services, and they'd do a citywide call for volunteer advocates. And those people were all excited, and they really wanted to start the work. And then it would be 6 months to a year before a request would come in, and then there would be, like, not as interested or couldn't remember what they were trained on. So what I've been doing recently, and you should expect this, is as people leave the board, I see if they're willing to serve as a volunteer advocate. And most times, if they're not moving far away, they're like, oh, sure, absolutely. And I know because of their service on the board, they're already familiar. They know how it's supposed to work. And that's worked really well. So the last request I had, Andrew Fisher agreed to be the volunteer advocate, and he had been on the board a very long time. So it was very easy for him. He took care of it. And that is, I think, the easiest way for me going forward, and I think that gets the best services to the public when they ask for an advocate. My prior approaches, other than the licensed social worker, oftentimes it was the advocate would talk to the person, then they would call me and say, okay, what do I do next? How do I answer this question? I'd refer them to where it was in the ordinance, and it was very much a back and forth process, whereas the recent board members who are no longer on the board, they can just answer those questions and, you know, really have that conversation with the person instead of, I don't know, let me check on that, let me get back to you kind of approach. So I do have a list. They are invited to trainings when the board goes, like when we bring speakers in and that sort of thing, they get that information. So, and sometimes they'll come to meetings and just sit and listen.
Okay. Thank you, Rose. Because I don't know where, and maybe we were talking about it and there was some difficulty with the advocate. So I just wanted to make sure that I don't see us being overrun with complaints at this point, but I just wanted to make sure if we start doing our outreach, and part of that requires that there, if requested as an advocate available, that we have that advocate so that we've got that connection.
The other places that I looked at when we were starting this is where they had advocates. Oftentimes they didn't have individuals be advocates. Instead, it was the groups who advocated for civilian oversight, like the ACLU or, you know, different AARP, you know, different groups would agree to serve in that role. And so they were kind of like the entry point of people who might complain, who didn't know where to turn. That was taken on by those organizations. At the time when I looked into it, so this would have been in 2009 and 2010, I could not find any other city that actively recruited individuals to serve in the role.
Thank you. Now we're at general comments by public members and staff. Is there anybody in the public that wants to come up and speak? Okay, seeing a shaking head, I will go on to comments by members.
Overman, I would like to ask about the NACOL flyer that was distributed. It wasn't referenced in the agenda, so I wonder why we were given this.
Well, I sent it out to everybody, and I do know that it's in your packet when you actually join the board, but I just wanted to reiterate, because it's just something that I think we need to all be cognizant of, and I just wanted to reinvigorate us in our code of ethics. That's all. Nothing more. I have to go to class every year and sit through code of ethics, and we have like 16 or 18 things that I have to suffer through. But I wanted to just everybody just kind of review it, because you know,
I appreciate that.
That's why. And that's why I emailed it out, and I'm making it available, because it was a link and I read through it, and I don't know if even I will speak for myself if I took it as seriously as I probably should have, because I just read it, said, yeah, it's a code of ethics. But I've read it again since and take it to heart, because I have been reading a lot.
One more quick point there.
Yes, sir.
I doubt this is a comprehensive list on the back of agencies that have adopted the NACOL Code of Ethics, but I do notice that
I was going to ask that of Rose, because it says that we've adopted it.
We have adopted it,
but
I
it's
don't
not,
know.
They haven't updated. I've checked their latest website. It doesn't. It's not
correct.
Different.
The other thing is we should be getting our invoice for dues. Last year we paid it in April.
Mm-hmm.
I have left phone messages and emailed them about that, as well as the
September conference
and possible regional event.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard back yet, but that is one of the things on my list too.
And they sent out something in the mail, via email, which to me is the mail, about a course that's coming up
right
in June.
Fort Worth. In Texas.
There's that one, but there was also like
yeah, there's one that's offered, I think, online.
I'm just emailed
waiting.
The person that we usually contact about it, and I haven't heard anything back. And like I said, I've called the number and left phone messages. So I'm hoping that maybe I'll hear something soon, and then I can get all the answers to these various questions.
Okay. Well, and along those lines, NACOL put out a call for next year's 2023 annual conference, and I immediately sent it to the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and they contacted, and we got in the small group of cities that they asked for a proposal, and I was...
Possibly host.
In 2023, so I hope somebody proofed my letter better than I proofed my flyer.
Your letter was fine.
Rose proofed it. But it went in the packet with letters from the city manager, the new mayor, and several noted people, none of them being me. I was just low person on the totem pole, but I was proud to recommend the City of Columbia. And I think they were here at one time. Did you not say they've had events here?
We, years ago, at the national level, NACOL was wanting to start regional conferences. And Scott Dean, who was the human rights appointee to the board at that time, was actively involved in NACOL. And he is the one who told us about this. And he basically did all the legwork. And the board hosted the Midwest Regional Conference. So that one of the questions with the board wanting to do the event that December Harmon had proposed, bringing in the speaker from Chicago, one question is, would that be something NACOL would view as a regional event? And then also in years past, the city has asked NACOL to send trainers here to train the whole board, which, you know, as compared to sending a couple members of the board to the national conference, So those are all, I think, questions that we probably need to talk to. Since the time that both of those things have happened, NACOL has more formalized their, created a certified practitioner of oversight process. And so I don't know if it will be as easy as what we did previously, or if there's more effort in order to keep, you know, their certified practitioner of oversight process in place. I don't know.
Our last certified practitioner was Cornelia Williams, was it not?
I do not know the answer to that. If people do go to the national conference, you can, when you do that, sign up to start the process. And I think it's last, I mean, this was a while since I checked, but it was, you had to do two national conferences basically within, I think, a 3-year period, and then do outside study to then get certified. And then there was some sort of maintenance plan on the certification. So there was one point because of COVID and the conferences going virtual where the board was looking forward to having everyone certified, but then all of a sudden people moved away. And all those people who had been on the path to be certified are no longer on the board.
That was... Actually, that was part of when why I passed out. I was looking at the certification, and I sat through, I would say, 95% of their courses last year and did not realize I needed to turn them in if I wanted credit for them.
Oh, wow.
Bummer.
So, no good for me. So, that's where that stands. And next month, the chief will be coming. On January 8th.
June 8th.
Put a microphone in front of me, see what I can say. June 8th. And at the last time he came, he just kind of answered questions. I would really prefer if we would set a deadline, and if we have things that we want to know specifically from the chief, I'd like to let him know those items. That doesn't mean we can't ask him questions, but I'd like him to come with that information. So I would like to put out to the board, if there's certain things that you want to know about the police department or things that are going on, I think we should formally give him those questions so they can answer those, because it was kind of an open, I'm going to say, free-for-all.
It kind of got hostile, too.
I thought it was a bit.
They were, like, really hard questions, and I don't think he took...
And I think it's just better if there's things that we want to know, if there's statistics that we want to know, if there's certain facts that we want to know about. If we have them in our mind already, then if we can go ahead and send that information, then we can ask questions beyond that. But that way we have that information right up front, and then we can have some give and take on those answers instead of just asking a question and then... circling back to it later as the more of a flow of conversation. That's what I'd like to see. If that would be okay, I don't know what is an appropriate date, Rose, for us to get that information just stockpiled.
Well.
I know you're going to be in and out. You're gone this weekend.
I'm going to be in and out, yes. So what if we said May 31st?
Okay.
As the deadline, so that would allow me to compile it and send him out on the 1st, which would give him a week.
And that way, I'm sure some of us will have similar questions, and he can figure out how he wants to come up with putting that together, and then we can ask questions beyond that. I think that...
You'd like us to email those questions to you, Rhonda?
No, we're going to have to...
Send them to
you
me.
You can send them to me and her at the same time, but... Rose has got to be the clearinghouse for those things, or we'll all get in trouble. I don't know what happens when we get in trouble, but I just know we get in trouble.
Do we want to put a kind of like a limit on the questions we submit to him? Like, I just don't want to give him, like, if everybody has 10 questions and he gets a 50-page or a 50
No,
question?
I think we can leave it up to him. I think that they'll probably come into certain categories, and then he'll focus in on what those areas are. I just don't want him blindly up there. I mean, he is the chief. He's he's got higher rank than I do. But
I don't know.
I'm
glad that we are kind of going, because I think the last time some instances it probably got a little tense, or you know, for lack of a better word, or I guess. But also, I feel like that him being the chief, he ought to know the community, so he ought to know some of those questions which are going to come about. There may be questions which are coming involved and police involved shooting. These are things, this is just me, this is how I feel, that he should be prepared and know and expect some of those questions which did arise in the last occasion. So that's just kind of, I'm not opposed to submitting a list of questions, but I just don't want to.
No, I'm talking about areas of like shootings. But
yeah.
Because there'll be a percentage of this, a percentage of that. You know, I just think that if we just say, I'm not wanting to submit just questions to him. I just think if we've got certain areas of concern, can we say what those are and let him address them? That's how I feel about it.
Last time he came up and we did like the question thing, and there was like members of the public, and then he left afterwards. Do you guys want to maybe switch that? To kind of give like the public a chance to, if they have questions for him, host that as an opportunity. I mean, I'm just throwing that out.
I mean,
we don't obviously we have.
I don't know that that's necessarily the. Is that how that I don't.
I don't know if we're just supposed to.
I've only
it. Kind of been done in the past. What have you seen in the past when he's came to speak with the board?
Usually, whether it was Chief Jones or Chief Burton before him, usually. Like with Chief Burton, he would give an update of what's going on in the police department. And then he took questions from the board. That was about it. And I think that's kind of, I think last time, I think Chief Jones was just like, just ask me questions. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, there were some hard questions. I mean, but then I think that those were legitimate questions.
Time after the Vibes shooting,
yeah.
Too,
well,
there was
some legitimate questions that, you know, people had maybe reached out because they see us as members. They may see us as members, you know our faces from Facebook or just being out there. So people get fueled those questions. Hey, can you ask this? Can you ask that? I know myself, I got asked, you know, because people had concerns about the shooting outside of Vibes, and they wanted an update on that. So I just kind of felt that it was my obligation because people had reached out to me to address that situation to him. So,
if you're going to ask the chief to answer questions that the public might have, then I think we should probably have the chief sit over kind of where Sergeant Ray is,
mm-hmm.
Which would then allow the public to come to the podium to ask the question because this is televised. So
yeah.
If you want to do that, I just need to know in advance so that, you know, we put a nameplate in and that sort of thing.
I like that.
I just remember last time, like, people came up and had things to say, and they were more directed at him, and they were telling it that, he should have been there to hear it. It didn't really do any good just saying it to us because I don't even think we relayed anything that they said or if he even saw what they said.
But so I like your idea of having him possibly sit over there and then letting them come to the podium so that if they do have a direct question, it can be directed to him and giving him the opportunity to feedback. I mean, I think that that's kind of what our purpose is to bridge the gap, you know. So that's
just. Is that what you want me to do?
If you'd be willing to do that. But if there's some specific areas that we want him to concentrate on, whether it's training, you know, what he's seeing in recruiting, stops. I know traffic stops has always been a hot item here, and that is his committee. So I would think that it would be appropriate to ask him to let us know kind of where that's going.
Well, and if we're wanting to switch to an investigative model, this may be the time to.
That would be the number three thing I've got down here because it got taken off the agenda, and I don't feel we have been doing, and I'll bring it up at the next meeting, probably get beat over the head. I don't think, as a review board, COVID was a big, big problem. Outreach is one of the biggest things we're supposed to be doing as a board. And so to the public, we have not done that outreach. And we're supposed to have a good relationship with the police department. Doesn't mean we do what they want, but we're supposed to have a good relationship. And it's supposed to be open and transparent. And I feel like if we're going to investigate looking at new models, it's not appropriate to be doing it if we're not doing our part of the job, which is the outreach. Now, I may be the only person that feels that way, but it's one of those things that I feel like we might want to put that off for a bit and see how this goes, because right now, I don't know that we are having an issue. Now, that could be tomorrow, that could be proven wrong, but I feel like we have to do the outreach. That's what we were tasked with. That's one of the number one things this board is supposed to do, along with oversight. And it's nobody's fault. It just hasn't been done.
I think that I can kind of back up what you're saying as far as the outreach goes. I think I'm probably one of the biggest supporters of getting out there in the community, getting to know your community, seeing what the people want. I've been on this board, I guess, since, November of last year, I think. And I know with COVID coming along that may have kind of interfered with some things about outreach. I'm glad that you did find that strategic plan. I'm going to appreciate even more once we start getting into it and start reading about it. But I do think that outreach is the biggest. It is big. You know, you have to let the people know what this commission is about. I see it not only for other people to even apply for these boards and commissions to get up here as outreach being that tool, but just doing the educational piece is very important. And I have to agree with Rhonda with that I just don't think that we've done enough of that. And just give the outreach committee an opportunity. We're starting to get ourselves, we're organizing, we're meeting. Just give us an opportunity to at least get through the strategic plan, identify the priority areas, and let us work it. And I just don't feel right now, and I don't know if that didn't get investigative model. I'm still, there's more research behind that I need to do before I can actually say, yeah, that this is the way I think that we should go. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, that will be at the next meeting, but I really want to try the outreach. Any other comments? Seeing none, our next meeting date will be not in January, but June 8th. I'm always good for the comic relief part of it. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Jeffrey, so moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That's it. Get your comments in by the